From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, March 20th, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by the Dempsey Center, making life better for people managing the impact of cancer. Locations in Lewiston and South Portland. DempseyCenter.org.
The state now has 8 new cases of COVID-19, according to the State Center for Disease Control, bringing the total number to 56. Dr. Nirav Shah, director of the state CDC, says 3 previous cases that were counted in Maine are from out of state, and a 4th was found to be negative after retesting by the state lab. Shah is still urging Mainers to practice social distancing.
This is, in the simplest terms, an act of good citizenship, and I thank all Maine people for doing so.
Cases of COVID-19 have been identified in 7 Maine counties. The highest numbers continue to be in Cumberland County. Distance learning will last a lot longer for many Maine school kids, as Erwin Gratz tells us. What were once 2-week closures will now last right through next month.
Initially, the schools chose to close for about 2 weeks, but once Governor Mills made her civil emergency declaration and asked schools to stay closed for that duration, that's what really drove the schools to change the dates. Many of them have now pushed back the possible restart of school until April 27th.
And a few districts continue to show March 27th reopening dates, but those could well change. You can see a listing of opening dates for the biggest school districts in the state at mainepublic.org. And individuals who are losing income because of the coronavirus will now have the option of borrowing up to $5,000 a month for up to 3 months using an emergency consumer lending program that state legislators approved earlier this week. The loans will be either low interest or no interest and will have other protections for borrowers. The Finance Authority of Maine's coordinating the program. FAME Maine CEO Bruce Wagner says the loans, which are backed by $500,000 from the state treasury, will be more favorable than typical consumer loans.
There's a 90-day grace period where nothing would have to be paid. So that's really extraordinary for a consumer loan.
Wagner says people should go to their banks or credit unions to get the loans. FAME is also offering direct loans to businesses and insuring loans for lenders who make loans to businesses experiencing hardship due to COVID-19. In weather tonight, showers ending, except for the mountains where we'll continue to have snow showers. Windy overnight with lows in the mid-teens to the high 30s. Tomorrow, windy and colder, cloudy north, otherwise mostly sunny with highs in the low 20s to the high 40s. Sunday, mostly sunny with highs in the mid-20s to the low 40s. And on Monday, sunny north and down east, otherwise clouds with late snow and highs in the high 20s to high 30s. In Maine, as in most other parts of the country, the supply of tests for COVID-19 is limited. That's forcing healthcare providers to reserve testing for the most high-risk patients under new guidelines by the State Center for Disease Control. In the meantime, some Mainers who've been tested say they are waiting days for results that were initially expected within 24 hours. Patty White has more.
Sunday evening, 32-year-old Sasha Bruce of Belfast didn't feel well. She had a sore throat and just felt generally tired. At first, she thought she caught a cold from a friend.
But I woke up on Monday morning with increasingly bad flu symptoms from body aches, elevated into a bit of a fever.
She called her local clinic and was told she could come in for a test, following the protocol for potential COVID-19 patients.
So I checked in at the back of the hospital and then I waited in my car for about 2 hours to get the call to come in. And then it was about another half an hour to get the test.
Afterwards, Bruce says she was told she'd get her results in 24 hours.
And I called on Tuesday evening and I was told that, oh, yes, things are actually taking more like 48 hours. And then when I called Wednesday evening, which would have been 48 hours from testing, I was told that it might be 4 or 5 days.
Cumberland County Sheriff Kevin Joyce says he's encountered the same issue trying to get the results for an inmate at the county jail who's ill.
Well, I was told that I would know by this morning. Then I was told I would know by this afternoon, and now I'm being told that 1 to 3 days. So I guess pick a day.
And as of Friday, Sasha Bruce, who's isolating at home, says she still doesn't know her results.
It's a little nerve-wracking, again, not because I'm so concerned for my own health, but because it's face-to-face interaction with, wow, things really aren't going well.
This week, the Maine Center for Disease Control acknowledged as much. And it's not just with test results. State CDC Director Dr. Nirav Shah says a limited national supply of lab materials, including so-called reagents, is inhibiting the state's capacity to test.
As the nationwide shortage of these reagents continues, our concern level rises. We've gone so far as to reach out to well-known scientific groups like the Jackson Laboratories and IDEX and the university systems to try to see if we can get some of these ingredients from them so that we can continue testing as uninterrupted as possible. That being said, it is a challenge right now.
And because of that challenge, Shaw says, the priority for testing is now given to high-risk individuals.
Those who are in the hospital, healthcare providers, first responders, and those who live in congregate settings, as well as individuals who are older and those who have chronic conditions.
Dr. Dora Ann Mills, Chief Health Improvement Officer of Maine Health, says the goal of this priority testing is to identify people whose treatment would change if they tested positive for COVID-19.
I get it. If I were sick, I would want to know if I had COVID-19, but I know that I don't need to know, because I'm going to be treated the same as I would be, you know, staying home and taking self-care as if I had the flu or some other respiratory infection.
And just as healthcare providers have had to prioritize who's tested, Mills says labs also have to prioritize which samples to process for results.
You know, triage the samples that they have from patients for whom the doctors would make a very different decision on the care and the care of the people around them.
This is what we have to do in order to protect our community and make sure we all stay safe.
Dr. James Jarvis of Northern Light Health announced Friday that the hospital system would restrict testing to high-risk individuals. It's unavoidable given the situation, he says, but far from ideal because Maine likely won't get an accurate picture of how far the coronavirus actually spreads.
That is a concern, and actually the reason why we were testing more readily up until today was for that exact reason. From an epidemiologic standpoint, we need to know how many people are infected so that we can kind of predict where we are going. Unfortunately, we just don't have that opportunity now.
As of Friday, the Maine CDC had recorded 56 cases of COVID-19 across 7 counties. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
In recent days, schools across Maine have closed as part of the state's strategy to limit the spread of COVID-19. But state health officials acknowledge that the situation is more complicated for childcare facilities. While many have shut down, others are staying open and taking on an increasingly important role in providing care for the children of healthcare workers and other essential employees. Robbie Feinberg has more.
For 33 years, Penny Terrio has operated Lots of Tots Childcare out of her home in the rural Washington County town of Princeton. In all those years, she says she never closed for more than a week. But as cases of COVID-19 increase in Maine, she feels conflicted.
I don't know whether I'm going to close. I'm still on the fence about that. I'm watching the news constantly, checking for the CDC for updates. It's really hard because we don't know from day to day what's going to happen. I'm on the fence as to what to do with our program here.
While universities and K-12 schools across the state have closed, childcare facilities have been left to decide on their own. In fact, Governor Janet Mills singled out childcare earlier this week when she declared the state's civil emergency, saying that her administration was planning to pursue waivers to ensure childcare capacity. But in the wake of that announcement, childcare operators, including Penny Terrio, are assessing what the spread of the virus could mean for their students, their community, and their own families.
It's not a separate building. This is my home. And I've got my family safety to think about. You know, we adopted our little girl. You know, her immune system isn't as great as what it should be, so I worry about that. I have a husband with Parkinson's. So I worry about his health. You know, so I have to think of those factors as well, because it is an in-home family child care.
But providers also have to think about how a shutdown would affect their finances and those of their employees. Chrissy Davis, who runs Bouncing Bubbles Child Care in Skowhegan, says she's already had to send staff home as many parents have removed their kids from the program in recent days.
When you're the business owner and your decision affects so many people, including myself, it's a tough one. We're caregivers. That's what we do for a living. That's who we are. And to say, I don't want to care for a child whose parent is out there working, it feels wrong. But at the same time, it's balancing that with my need and the children that would be here. It's hard, very hard.
Child care organizations in Maine are now asking state leaders to support the industry in a number of ways. First, says Tara Williams of the Maine Association for the Education of Young Children, by recommending the closure of most child care programs and leaving some in operation to care for children of emergency responders and other essential workers.
And if our state is talking about having goals of flattening the curve and community health, then closing of childcare programs is unfortunately going to be part of what we need to do.
The groups are also asking the state to help provide loans to childcare operators, as well as access to funds to cover paid leave for staff.
This situation right now is really bringing to light or exposing some really long-time structural issues in the childcare system. You know, it's not that we're necessarily seeing new problems, it's just that we're seeing them more clearly when childcare is needed in a time of emergency or time of crisis. So the lack of public funding, the fact that it operates in a way where it relies primarily on parents to be able to pay, puts it in a very difficult situation in a time like this.
The state says that some steps have already been taken, including continued payments to child cares for children who had been subsidized. The state also says that child care providers are eligible for economic injury disaster loans from the U.S. Small Business Administration. In a written statement, DHHS spokesperson Jackie Farwell says the department, quote, recognizes the pressures Maine's child care providers face as a result of COVID-19 and continues to offer guidelines and support statewide, particularly for child care operators that serve essential personnel. The department estimates that statewide about 20% of child cares have closed so far. Penny Terrio in Princeton says she's planning to stay open for now. And she's staying extra vigilant, bleaching floors for hours each night.
And teaching the kids, like, put stamps on their hands. They get a prize at the end of the day if they've washed the stamp off. You know, to just teach them about the spread of germs. You know, so we're talking about that. And just tell them that, you know, it's going to be okay. You know, scary things happen, and it's okay, but they need to be able to talk to us. If they have questions, you need to answer them to the best of your ability at their level.
Ontario says that while she is following proper social distancing guidelines, if a scared or anxious kid needs a hug, she'll still wrap her arms around them and comfort them. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
You can hear more about the special challenges facing child care operators and the parents who depend on them on Maine Calling Monday at 1 p.m. here on Maine Public Radio. Police, prosecutors, and judges in Maine are taking steps to avoid sending nonviolent offenders to jail. The spread of the coronavirus has prompted Maine courts to issue orders vacating outstanding warrants for unpaid fines and unpaid restitution. No civil or criminal trials will be held until at least May 1st, and at least two county jails are releasing certain prisoners early. Advocates have also been calling on the Maine Department of Corrections to take similar action, and late this afternoon, the department announced that it would. Susan Sharon has more.
There have been no confirmed cases of COVID-19 in state prisons, but advocates in Maine and around the country are urging the criminal justice system to prevent jails and prisons' close quarters from becoming a breeding ground for the coronavirus.
Here in Maine, we're hoping that officials will be able to consider releasing people who are in prison right now, people who have less than a year left on their sentence, who are sort of almost done serving their time.
Allison Bia is the executive director of the ACLU of Maine. The group is also asking that older prisoners and those with underlying health conditions be considered for release because they've been identified as more susceptible to serious effects from COVID-19.
We know that Maine has one of the oldest populations in the country. country, and that also resonates in our prison population. So we hope that the commissioner will consider those who are over 55, and if they can be released safely into the community, we hope that they'll consider doing so.
Activists with Maine Youth Justice, a campaign to end youth incarceration in Maine, are also calling on the DOC to release about 50 kids being held at the Long Creek Youth Development Center in South Portland and to close the facility. Al Cleveland is the campaign's director, who says conditions inside during the coronavirus crisis are exacerbated for kids with limited contact from the outside world, now that visitors and volunteers are prohibited.
We know the isolation that will happen to young people without visits to their family and without access to technology could severely harm their mental health for the rest of their lives. I mean, this is an urgent call, and we're really hoping to see action from our state officials.
In a statement released late Friday afternoon, Department of Corrections Commissioner Randy Liberty said the DOC would begin immediate review of adults and juveniles for placement in supervised community confinement or for community reintegration. Those deemed low risk and not serving a sentence for a violent crime are being reviewed first. Regarding kids at Long Creek, Liberty said 5 detained youth at the center will have left by the beginning of next week, and 9 committed youth will be released by early next month. Allison Bia of the ACLU of Maine says Liberty's action is a good first step, but she wants him to go even further. Meanwhile, Jim Mackey of AFSCME Council 9, the union representing corrections officers and other prison staff, is warning of a deepening staffing shortage because of new coronavirus screening protocols for workers entering state corrections facilities each day.
All of our staff every morning now are being shot with a temperature gun and giving a form to fill out with several questions on it. And if you answer yes to, I think, one or two of the questions, then you're sent home. If you pop on the temperature gun, you are sent home, and you have to then cover all that time with your time.
Mackey says currently the Maine State Prison and other facilities are short more than 50 corrections officers. But if others are forced to stay home for 14 days under the new protocols, Mackey says some workers may simply choose to leave at a time when they may be needed most. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Have a good weekend. I'm Nora Flaherty.